Systemic Teaching About Christian Life Series The Life of the Christian in the World Distribution conditions of this material are described at zoominchristianlife.org Subject of this audio Every good gift and every perfect gift, with particular emphasis on the gift of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 1 The Unique Origin of Every Good Gift and Every Perfect Gift This theme is part of a diversity of materials that aim to offer the reader a broad and integrated teaching, also called systemic, about the Christian life and which already has the following previous series. 1. Suggestions for reading and studying the Bible. 2. The Gospel, the Good News of God. 3. The Life of the Christian in the World. Each of the subjects in the series mentioned above aims to deal with a specific theme about the Christian life, but always under the perspective that they are not independent of each other and that they are granted by the Lord to be added to the lives of those who want to walk according to the will of God. Our desire and our prayer are that each of the materials mentioned above, as well as this new theme, may serve as a tool to help build a more profound knowledge of the Word of God, faith in the Lord, hope, and love in Christ Jesus, our eternal Lord, as well as in the Holy Spirit and in the Heavenly Father, from whom life comes from. Yet in the introduction of this present subject, we understand that it is also worth mentioning that some of the themes exposed in it have already been addressed in the various materials referenced above, but that will be approached here again, in a partial way, with the objective of grouping them under the emphasis that the great or supreme giver of gifts for life is the Heavenly Father, as stated in the text below. James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Although the verse above, in English, uses the same word gift twice, the word gift mentioned first is related to the act of giving gifts, while the word gift used the second time is more related to the idea of the gift, present, or benefit that is effectively conferred by the act of giving gifts. Thus, every act of giving a good gift and every perfect gift that is granted or can be given comes from above, comes from the heavenly kingdom and the heavenly Father, from the Father who is also called the Father of lights. In turn, to assert that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights is a very comprehensive and significant statement, for in this statement, it is implied that everything that is good in life, and in the entire universe, has its primary origin in God. And because every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, a human being can only do an act of true kindness and pass on a truly good gift if this is first granted to an individual by the Heavenly Father, as is also exposed in the following text. 1 Corinthians 4, 6-7. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Whether a person has made a discovery that indeed benefits oneself and others, or whether a person has achieved a thought from which something really beneficial has been derived, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, even if many do not recognize it and attribute their discoveries to their own ability or the ability of the very creation. Human beings may be granted, by the Lord, the act of passing on good gifts and perfect gifts to other people, but this possibility does not make them the source of good gifts. For example, one of life's central gifts that a person may share with one's fellow men is true love, which, as a gift of immeasurable value, is only possible to be shared by a person if one previously or first receives it from God. 1 John 4, 19. We love him because he first loved us. If human beings were more aware of the truths mentioned in these few texts of the Bible referenced up to this point, or accepted these truths without giving rise to such expressive and continuous resistance to them, they would not need to demand such a broad effort in the attempts to elevate themselves before others, and would not need to subject themselves to the continuous and exhausting disputes and competitions they carry out towards their fellow men. If every ability to do good and everything that is good comes from the Heavenly Father, why should anyone always dispute and compete with other people to prevail over them in order to try to take away or destroy what they have? Human beings can only do or have something truly good, with legitimacy before God, if the Heavenly Father grants or allows them to do or have it, and not by taking other people's things by force or competition. What the human being takes, and which has not been granted to a person through the gift or favor of God, is not seen before the Lord as actually belonging to an individual. What is dominated by the human being, and has not been granted or bestowed on a person from above, may be considered as misappropriation before the Lord. John 3:27. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven." Human beings may come to think that their possessions and what they dominate are what give value to their existence. However, what credits a person before God is the faith one has in the Lord. For apart or estranged from an appropriate relationship with God, a person also moves away from the condition of being able to have something that indeed is one's own or that is truly beneficial to one's life. Since the entire universe belongs to God, a person dissociated from fellowship with Him also becomes deprived of any right of eternal inheritance or property before the Lord. Luke 12:15. And He said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "The just shall live by faith." In the theme "The Gospel of Peace," we commented on the origin of the conflicts and wars that exist between people, presenting the fact that the scriptures show us that, essentially, it is their distance from the Creator and the enmity with God that provoke the most various animosities between people. If a person does not believe that every good gift and every perfect gift is bestowed by God by His eternal grace, through faith in Him, and for living according to His will, one will tend to develop a belief and practices in other actions to obtain one's more diverse desires, which are what the scriptures call the initiating elements of strife, conflict, and even wars, whether small or large. James 4:1-4. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses! Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. For not believing or for not wanting to recognize and accept that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, many people surrender to dense obscurities, which also lead them to terrible acts that oppose not only God and the heavenly righteousness, but also themselves and their fellow men. Below are some texts that mention the acceptance or rejection of the light granted by the Father of lights and some consequences that come from each option. John 1:10-11. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. John 3:19-21. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. John 3:31-36. He who comes from above is above all, he who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son, and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. When we think about the aspect that all good gifts, favorable and good acts, and perfect gifts, beneficial gifts, come from the Lord, whether directly or indirectly, we can see that understanding this truth affects everything in a person's life, including the most diverse decisions that one needs or intends to make during one's life in the present world. Deciding correctly, with sobriety, and with wisdom is a good gift of immeasurable value that a person can only receive fully and perfectly from God, for only in the Lord resides the full knowledge and wisdom concerning everything and everyone. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Colossians 2:1-3. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. On the other hand, knowing that every good gift and every perfect gift to people in the world comes from God, and that they are innumerable and always given for good, also shows us that several aspects in the world run against the good will of the Lord for people's lives, as exemplified in the following text. James 3:13-18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Although God or the Father of lights offers his wisdom to people, a person can choose to try to live and walk by one's own knowledge or understanding, relying on one's heart to decide which paths one wants to follow. But the heart of an individual is far from being trustworthy and far from being wise enough, an aspect that is also explicitly exposed in the scriptures, as follows. Jeremiah 17:9-10. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Proverbs 26:12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. The Heavenly Father is the granting source of all that is good. And the Lord is not upset when people, who desire to walk according to his will, come to him in all circumstances in order to discern whether what is offered to them is appropriate and indeed from the divine source. The Lord is pleased with those who seek him in everything with the aim of discerning whether something offered to them as a gift actually has the seal of the heavenly kingdom. The Lord is pleased when people turn to him with the purpose of achieving discernment to filter and receive what is beneficial to them in the eyes of God and to know how to reject what does not cooperate for their good. By not consulting the Lord about what is or is not appropriate for them or what is or is not from the Lord, many people try to establish their own criteria for evaluating what good gifts are. But in these assessments, they begin to confuse what is indeed a gift or a favor with God's approval and what is contrary to the Lord's will for them. Some people, for example, advocate that abundance or material abundance automatically means that a person is being blessed by gifts from God. However, the proposition of this thought is very far from the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ about what really matters for the present life and even more for eternal life. Although God can grant material abundance to his children in the world, what matters, above all, is a person to be firm in faith in Christ Jesus as the Lord of one's life and to be steadfast in faith in God to the point of being moved by the love of God in what one does. When they come from an appropriate gift granted by God to them, matters of material abundance may cooperate for God's purposes in the lives of his children, but they never automatically mean that a person is under a condition of life that pleases the Lord. The testimony that really matters about a person's condition is the testimony that the Lord himself gives to a person, which cannot be replaced by merely external aspects. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. 1 Corinthians 4:4-5. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Continuing yet concerning material abundance, if it distances a person from faith in the Lord, from dependence on the Lord, and from God's love in what one does in one's life, material abundance for this person does not act as a good gift and, therefore, it is not in line with the major gifts from heaven for a person to live and walk according to the will of God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, also in the parable of the sower, warned people about the risk of inclining their hearts to what seems to them a good gift but which distances them from fellowship with the Heavenly Father. And he even showed us that, in many cases, the abundance of goods and the heart excessively inclined to earthly gifts can suffocate the gifts that truly come from the Heavenly Father for people's lives. When people think that external and material matters are the primary mark that they are being favored by the Lord, they can simply start welcoming everything that seems convenient to their own natural eyes, without even questioning whether what they consider as gifts is indeed coming to them from above and the only source from which every perfect gift comes for what is beneficial for the present and primarily to their eternal life. In the theme of works, labors, and services, we highlighted several times what kind of gifts a person should primarily incline one's heart to and for which type of work one should labor, having as one of the basic references the text which we repeat below. John 6:24-29. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, What shall we do, that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. When people stop looking only at the temporary or ephemeral things, which the Lord also promises to provide according to the needs of those who trust in him, and start to lift their eyes towards their eternal Creator, they can also begin to have the eyes of their understanding enlightened to see how much non-material gifts from God are available in the Lord for their lives. It is from an appropriate condition regarding the eternal gifts from God that also the relevance of questions related to what is transient can be adequately seen. From a proper relationship with the eternal gifts, even eventual oppositions and sufferings can be seen from an adjusted or adequate perspective. 2 Corinthians 4:17-5, 7. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. When people stop looking only at the natural or passing and start to lift their eyes towards their eternal Creator, they incline their hearts to be enlightened by God to see that the eternal gifts that the Lord offers to human beings are so many that it would even be impossible to list them all. Just as an example, let us see below a small list of eternal gifts that come from the Lord that demonstrate the greatness and sublimity of what God has prepared for all human beings and that can be accessed by all those who open their hearts to receive the offer of eternal salvation in Christ Jesus. Eternal grace. Eternal salvation through the grace of God. Eternal life. Faith, hope, and love. Wisdom for the right decisions for the present and the eternal future. The gift of the Holy Spirit and the diversity of gifts of the Spirit, works, and operations to be carried out in the Lord. The condition of eternal children of the Heavenly Father. The position of heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And much, much more. By way of observation, we remind that many of the aspects mentioned in the last paragraph are addressed in the various themes of the other series we mentioned earlier. And for this reason, they will not all be covered more extensively in this specific material, for in it, we will try to focus more on those points where the mentions of gifts are used in a more evident or direct way. Finally, in this introduction, although this is redundant with what has been mentioned several times in the other themes, we understand that it is always crucial to repeat that the first and principal aspect about the gifts that come from God does not refer to the gifts themselves, but who is the giver of the good and perfect gifts. When approaching gifts, we understand that it is essential always to remember that the greatest gift that a person can receive is the very giver of life and all other things through the fellowship that God offers us in Christ Jesus. The Lord's other gifts never surpass the major gift of being able to have the Lord Himself as our portion, For to be an heir of God is to have the Lord himself as an eternal inheritance, since he is everlasting and lives forever. Psalms 119, 57. You are my portion, O Lord, I have said that I would keep your words. Lamentations 3, 24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him. Psalm 16, 2 and 5. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup, you maintain my lot. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 8, 15-17. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together.